Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death has no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, and wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, it's been an interesting week. May you live in interesting times. Joking aside, it's going to be a little different today. My comfort spot as a preacher is exegetical. That's the fancy word for giving the Bible text a close read. And then hopefully letting that text read us. We are being conformed to Christ. And how we primarily know about Christ is through his word. But there are other patterns of preaching the word. So I apologize if this just doesn't work. I'll probably be back to normal next week. I don't really want to address specific happenings in any direct way. But what I want to talk about is how a Christian does pass through time. Because when we talk about God, We might be talking about other things as well, but we are definitely talking about our inescapable sense of time. Events happen in the present and recede into the past, and our ever-lengthening past defines who we are in the present. Yet, we face the future. A future that is unknown and unknowable, at least to us in the present. And it's the crush of events moving from immutable past to unknowable future that we start to talk about as eternity. And in eternity, we need something that we call God. And I think there are two orientations to this. There's the God who conserves everything. This is the God of the religious quest to get underneath or behind or beyond this mundane present. This is a timeless God. Because we are full of guilt about the unchangeable past, or because we are full of fear about the onrushing future, we might seek to escape into that timeless God. The God who promises us that none of this really matters, because it's all really just a dream that one day we'll escape. Contrary to that cosmic conserver of everything, which really destroys it all, there's the God who creates new every morning. In the beginning, when time started, God created the heavens and the earth. And each day of creation is a new surprise. Let there be light. And there was light. Imagine the reaction of the watchers. Like watching the best fireworks show ever. Having never seen light before, there it is. And not just this marvelous new thing, but this glorious, new, good thing. God saw that the light was good. Contrary to the timeless God, the God that creates goes from day to day and finds the works of each day good and very good. Far from immutable, the heavens and the earth that God created are sustained every day and change every day. His providence renews every day. And good luck guessing what the Creator God is going to do next, unless He tells you some way. There's no reason that we should have had to experience the future's possibilities or innovations as a threat instead of an opportunity. After all, God created good. He sustains and continues to create. Surely He means good for His creatures. But we generally don't think that way. We experience the future as a threat, especially when that future is full of change that we don't like or that we can't understand. We want the status quo. We will go on mighty quests to try and stop that change, to get behind it, to get underneath it, get back to the timeless God. And I'll be honest, the changes that I see, that people stupidly tried to halt this past week, that they are just as stupidly reacting to, do cause fear. Because I've been paying attention to what people taking places of power have been saying. When a future assistant attorney general says things like, I can't see a single case where religious freedom should win. Or when lawsuits on groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor, who spend their day caring for the poor and the aged, are already queued up. Or when you realize that, like this place, if you openly confess the Ten Commandments, roughly as we teach them, you might not be able to be admitted to the legal bar or other professions shortly. It causes fear. And fear leads to the quest to get behind or underneath things, to that timeless God, to get to control, to lock in a future. But the gospel denies that quest. The gospel says Christ is risen. What Paul says, death no longer has dominion over him. And death no longer has dominion over us in Christ. God continues to create. And he continues to create good. And everything God does is for the good of his elect. We may not see it. Probably don't. Even the great prophets didn't always see it. Think about poor Elijah after thrashing the prophets of Baal, wandering out into the desert and moaning to God that Jezebel is after him and he's the only one left. But God picks up Elijah, gives him some food, and brings him to Sinai. And at Sinai, Elijah sees the Lord. But the Lord tells him to go back. He's got other things to see. He has saved 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal, and he's going to create something from Elisha and those 7,000 and a couple of pagan kings that he's going to use. Not even the great prophets like Elijah always saw. But God was always and still at work creating. What he desired was faith. Because faith is really the only way that we sinners can see. Believe that I have plans to prosper you. Yes, you may find yourself in Babylon. Doesn't matter. Babylon is God's too. Should I not care about this great city and all of its cattle, he once said to Jonah. The Christian life is not a quest for a timeless solidity that is underneath or behind things. But the Christian life is a way. It's a way through time. It's a discipleship. Our Lord himself was baptized and walked through time, died, and was buried. And we are called to learn from him. That is the meaning of disciple, after all, learner. We aren't seekers because seeking, naturally, we wouldn't find anything, but we are called to be followers, called by the gospel. You can think of Christ as the Alpha, the one who created time, but he's also the Omega, The one who came to us from that other end of time, from the resurrection. Christ came to us from the final outcome. And he came to tell us that he's made a place for us. We have a place there in that Omega. The Christian life is the walk through God's good creation from Alpha to Omega. And as long as we are not alienated from God, we have nothing to fear about that walk. Christian's orientation to the future, whatever comes, is that God is creating something good. And we are blessed to be here and to be a part of it. It might take some work. That's fine. Death no longer has dominion over us. Christ is risen. That opens up a future of possibility and a future of promise. And that's not to be Pollyanna. After all, the Lord that we are following was crucified. All these things that we fear may actually come to be. We might be called to walk through them. But it's in walking through them that we experience the goodness of God. Not a timeless God. A God who walks with us. Not a God who casts everything in amber, but a creator God. Not a dead God, but one who lives. Jesus is risen. You too shall rise. So let us walk in the newness of life. Amen.